Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 121, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. It's Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. O'Brien. Down, down. On the DZ. That is courtesy of Dr. Studley Ooh. Batman, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, Gray! My name is Miles of Gray, forever a host of the Daily Zeitgeist.
And that is from Christy, Christopher, Christina, William Yamaguchi, Maine.
I will abide neither of those, I think is what our guest is saying.
Okay, well, I would just like to say, shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, Maine.
Yeah.
Pulled up in real life,
in
IRL,
real, yeah.
To the show. Great to meet you, amongst many other people. Shout out to the man at the DC show who was the listener who came up with Benghazi.
Yeah.
Yes, this.
Who we will continue not to say his name, but
I told him, I was like, I'm gonna forget, but I tell me your name again so I can properly shout you
out. He tweeted it at us.
Ah, damn it.
Can I shout out some Zeitgangers?
Yeah.
Shout out, I forget their names, but to the the two wonderful people that came up to me and said hello at the
Don't even know who you are, bro.
At the Mythic Quest premiere.
Okay.
And they said they heard me here.
Hey.
And what kind people they were.
Awesome.
Where was this at? What city?
This is here in sunny Los Angeles, California.
Right. Hey,
guys, it's the morning drive time. Squiz.
Just keep doing that. I want to.
Come
see
on,
if
don't.
Go.
Yorf. No.
Yorf.
Yorp.
Bing, bing, bing.
Hey, it's everyone's favorite Michael Winslow impersonator here on. Daily Zeitgeist.
Michael Winslow impersonator.
Yeah.
He does impersonations of sound effects. They're not great, but...
It's even worse. It's a white guy in blackface, and you're like, oh, bro, you didn't have to do all of this.
Oh, bro.
I thought that was part of the impersonation.
Yeah, like, yeah, see, don't, no one asked.
We might as well introduce you.
I learned how to do impersonations from Al Jolson himself.
Oh, Jesus.
That Jesus.
Voice you hear
double
is
Jade.
The hilarious and talented Andy Beckerman.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Everyone. Hello. How are you doing in this beautiful morning? Oh, Lord.
How are you feeling?
Terrible.
With your caffeine. I know you've been kicking the DC, the Diet Coke. You just got a little bit of that Celsius in you.
I got the Celsius. It's got sucralose. I took a caffeine pill. I will be off.
Wow.
Uh-oh. That is his promise to you.
That is a promise. Jokes will be flying.
Well, Miles.
Yes.
the energy took a real 90-degree turn there.
On that note.
Well.
You're like, all right, I can't deal with this guy. I feel like, Jack, that is our energy in general when we're having conversations off mic.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know how to deal with this guy.
Yeah, a lot of energy coming at me. I'm a low energy type of person.
If so, your kids know, get all the
get
your
all
attention
the energy
for that, and you have it for the strange weirdo in your professional life.
In my closet.
I do, by the way.
Sometimes.
He rents me his closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you just show up and unannounced.
Hey, man, we all got to get back on our feet in one way or another. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Miles.
Yes.
We are going on tour. We've been on tour. And I and super producer Anna Hosni are taking our time machine we were in Brooklyn and DC last week. It was
fantastic.
A real gas, I gotta say. A real gas.
No,
it was really fun, guys. These shows have been so, so much fun. And we're not planning on fucking it up for the last three dates. Minneapolis, February 25th
yes.
at the Parkway Theater with special guest POS. Chicago, February 27th at Sleeping Village with Daniel Van Kirk. And Toronto, the grand finale, February 28th at the Great Hall. For tickets, go to dailyzeitgeist.com and go to the live appearances tab for links to the tickets. Andy.
Yes.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about, but you should feel free to chime in if you'd like to as we're telling them what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do our standard four-day-old news story and tell you what we thought of the All-Star festivities this weekend in Chicago, NBA All-Star weekend. It was an eventful, fun weekend.
I had a weekend.
Thank you for clarifying NBA. Yeah.
Yes, NBA, indeed. We're
did
gonna
you say NDA?
NDA.
The NDA All-Stars.
The NDA
we can't
All-Stars.
Tell you who they are.
Mike just Bloomberg's the NDA All-Star Weekend.
All
female
64
employees.
Women that have accused him of sexual harassment. More than Trump.
That's wild. We're gonna check in with the polls. Speaking of Mike Bloomberg, he is surging because despite the fact that he wasn't in either of the first primaries, because Bernie won New Hampshire
and Iowa,
it turned into the
Iowa.
He won the popular vote in Iowa. It became a Mike Bloomberg bounce where the mainstream media was like, "Well, what about this Bloomberg guy? Because
hey,
what about this rich guy that's giving
Bernie
us all this money?
Yeah,
what should we say about him?"
Yeah. We're going to talk about Klobuchar because how she picked the colors of her campaign. We're unsure if this is a bit or if it's reality, but if it's true, she is our new queen. We are going to talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner making a comeback.
That happened?
No, it's going to.
Oh, okay.
But they actually hired a comedian this year instead of a conservative writer or biographer.
Oh, yeah. Who was it last year?
I think it was the guy who wrote Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
Not Lin-Manuel Miranda. The guy who wrote the Hamilton biography.
There's that Doris
Lin-Manuel
Kearns
Miranda.
Goodwin.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, are they getting the guy who does those, like, those song parodies?
No.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Finally a return to comedy.
I'm wearing tights.
All I can think of is the parody of that guy. I can't picture. I don't know what he was actually like. I know the Mr. Show
the Capital
parody
Steps
was very funny. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We're going to talk about Boy Scouts because they are declaring bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Moral bankruptcy.
Moral bankruptcy and literal
and
bankruptcy.
Strategic literal bankruptcy.
Yeah, should have sold some Boy Scout cookies. We're going to talk about Subway going, putting their, what are the people called who own the
franchisees?
They're putting their franchisees in a difficult position. We're going to talk about National Chocolate Mint Day. We're going to talk about Target's Shipt. We're going to talk about what one of the great places to work, Target's Shipt, dog owner poll, and Kickstarter. Actually, maybe a good place to work. But first, Andy, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Sir? Oh, great question. I searched. I mean, there was like basic things, like I was searching like the cast of High Fidelity, but electrolyte tab.
Electrolyte tab.
Yes. And then when that actually got me to tabs of stuff with electrolyte, and then I had to look up electrolyte tab REM. I was looking up how to play. I've been listening to New Adventures in Hi-Fi lately.
It's a good album.
It really is. It is a...
Agreed, sir.
It is kind of one that... It's the last one with Bill Berry.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the last one. Wow. Then he had the aneurysm, and then Up was the first one, the next album.
What band are you talking about?
R.E.M.
Oh, okay.
It's Electrolyte is, I would say, a top 10 R.E.M. song.
It's just pure. It's like they took the pure kind of pop goofiness of like Shiny Happy People, but like actually did it earnestly instead of ironically. And it's just really a pure pop piano jam.
It's fantastic, and it's very easy to play. I was too lazy to just figure it out on my own.
When you said electrolyte
tab, conversation we've had on
this
show.
Oh, yes, guitar tab.
No, I mean, yeah. At first, I thought you were talking about that there was a tab soda that was fortified with electrolytes.
Electrolytes, yeah.
And I was like, that's a weird hangover.
I was assuming it was...
Look, I quit Diet Coke. Yeah. What else am I supposed to do?
The electrolyte tab.
You've already talked about caffeine pills. I thought you were taking pills with electrolytes in them. Just purely pill-based diet.
I need Diet Right with electrolytes. Electrolytes.
Yeah, there's some great songs on that album.
Yeah, it's a fantastic album, and I think it's people kind of gloss over it.
Right.
For whatever reason. I guess, you know, it, like post-Automatic for the People, I think I think Monster really turned a lot of people off.
Monster's really good, too, actually. Monster has some good songs.
Monster's got some bangers. Overall, yeah. I would give it a B.
A B. In terms of
R.E.M. canon.
Yeah. Hmm. Miles, where do you think it falls?
Oh, that one?
Quick, top 10 REM album. Oh, that one? That's
great. Let's turn this into Are You Talking REM?
Yeah, right.
I mean, what is the frequency, Kenneth?
Hey, you know? he knows it.
Is that literally the only REM song you know?
Nah, Man on the Moon.
Everybody knows the.
I know like
the hits
shit
off of Automatic.
I only know
the
like
people.
The shit. Yeah, exactly. I know those. That's why when you start going to other albums, I'm like, I didn't follow them enough to know that much.
Yeah,
and I know who Michael Stipe is, but that's about the edges of my REM knowledge.
Yes.
Favorite song on Murmur.
Oh. Oh God.
Favorite song?
Andy, what is something you think is overrated?
Great.
Let's
question.
Keep this all REM based. What's an REM album overrated. You think is overrated?
Actually, let's start with Miles.
Honestly, there was like when I was a kid, the one with Green and Document were the ones where that made me not want to listen to I only discovered REM because of Automatic for the People, because when Document and Green were, they were kind of like cheesy, like Losing My Religion.
Yeah.
But you go back, and there are great songs on both
Losing
of those.
My Religion's on Out of Time.
Sorry, Out of Time. Thank you.
Right.
I love Out of Time.
I meant Out of
That's
Time
That's funny
and
you
Green.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really pay attention to those until last year.
I was so into Losing My Religion when that song was a hit. I like made my dad listen to it. I was like, what do you think they're talking about, Dad?
All I liked was the Weird Al on his Al TV. He did a version of it where he was just making fart sounds.
Oh, really?
And it was great. Overrated?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, when someone says great question, they either are, that just means that they haven't heard that question before, or they're stalling for time.
Right.
Mine was stalling for time as I opened my phone.
Great question. What's something that's
great
overrated?
Great question that I've answered the other three times I've been on the show.
Great question. Green is the sixth studio album by American rock band REM, released on November 7th, 1988 by Warner Brothers Records. Yeah. So that's my input.
True.
The children of famous people doing the same thing their famous parents did.
Yeah.
I have been thinking about this a lot lately.
Yeah.
Especially since moving to Hollywood and being like, oh, this isn't a meritocracy. No. I see. I think if you are the child of a famous person, whatever they did, whether they're an actor, a musician, Miles, in your case, a famous collage artist.
Not famous. Only recently. I won't give him that.
Wow.
There should be a 10-year moratorium on doing the same thing that they're... So if, say, you're like the child of an actor. Say you're Michael Douglas.
Right.
And you're like, I want to be an actor.
You can't be an actor until you're 10 years old?
Years later from that decision. You should have to wait 10 years. There should be a federal nepotism commission.
Oh.
Not to root out corruption and nepotism.
Right.
Because that's just everywhere.
Just
we're
going to
have to... Once Bernie wins, we will start reforming the system.
You want to make nepotism a little more equitable.
Yes.
You want them to have to experience the slog and grind a little bit.
I want to take back the nepotism from the billionaires and redistribute it.
Wow.
Yeah, socialist nepotism is what I'm looking for. Nearpotism.
Is there someone
we're going to change nepotism into nearpotism.
Is there someone you look at specifically? Because it sounds like you've been thinking, who's somebody who's on your list here?
Yes.
Why are you doing the thing your parents do?
No one I can say and still have a career. So
I was going to say, missed that
one. Yes. So I can just say, Michael Douglas, who is a good actor.
Taking shots at Michael Douglas.
No shots fired for Michael Douglas because he's a good actor. So I'm like, okay, that's a safe one.
Come on. Right. Put your career on the line right now, Andy.
No!
It's worth it.
We have three beautiful pets whose mouths need food.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say something, but I'm not. Okay, yeah. No, the pets' mouths need food.
Naomi and I both self-made, relatively. Mm. Our parents working in middle class, so I feel safe in saying this. But like Michael Douglas, there would be a federal nepotism commission. You would have to pass a test.
Right.
And you would have to show that you are, as, say you're an actor, as charismatic or more charismatic or as skilled in the dramatic arts.
Right.
Or more skilled than your parent.
Right.
Who did it.
Just leave it alone at that point, huh?
Yes. And if not, sorry, you're just going to have to live on their riches or find something else to do.
Right. Find another way
join
to soothe your ego.
One of the other things that rich people funnel their children into, finance, nonprofits, politics.
I'm trying to think of examples where the offspring was more skilled than the previous generation.
Kobe Bryant.
Tough.
Yeah.
And are we only
Kobe
saying...
Bryant. Well, but Kobe Bryant, so I think there's a thing in sports...
There's a lot of athletes who are much better
than
their parents.
Yeah, where it is a pure meritocracy and somebody gets, like, just has the ability... First of all, it's not a lot of information that needs to be passed down, but you get it at an early age.
Right.
And then you're also just constantly around the game. So, like, you pick up things that can't be put into words, like, in a...
By osmosis, you're getting 10,000 hours by, like, age 4.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think it happens in, like, football coaching a little bit. I don't know about basketball coaching, but, like, football coaching with...
Jack, only one way to find out.
I know. With Mike Shanahan's kid is, like, pretty brilliant. Like, he's...
He's a coach of the Niners?
He's the coach of the Niners,
right.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Besides Colin Kaepernick, are there other political... So sports does feel like... The true meritocracy,
right?
Where if you're good at it, you will get a chance,
right?
How many people are there Colin Kaepernick who are politically blacklisted, and even though they are good,
right,
and are like top tier performers,
right,
top tier in whatever sport they're playing. Are blacklisted.
I mean, every baseball player before Jackie Robinson's, they should be viewed as skeptically as anybody during the steroid era. Because, if you're looking at their stats, like, they're playing against, you know, half the best players in the country.
Whitey Ford.
Right.
Who I only know from a Simpsons episode.
Right.
And that one album.
Right.
Whose album was Whitey Ford Sings the Blues?
Oh, Everlast.
It was Everlast. would you say Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf?
Yeah, he was kind of
He
kind of
got because, yeah, he wouldn't stand for the national anthem back then because he was like, this is a symbol of oppression. But he was doing that in the 90s, and they're like, you're Muslim. Yeah,
the mainstream media was just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when the mainstream media was Islamophobic, and not anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy.
Fortunately, we fixed all that. What is something you think is... underrated.
Great question.
Thanks.
I had a lot of thoughts for this one, but I think I'm going to go with John Sayles films. And I think underrated in terms of like culture at large. Okay. I think within film, within the like people who know about film, John Sayles is exactly rated as he should be, which is as a fantastic filmmaker.
Right.
Do you guys know John Sayles films?
I do.
No.
Eight Men Out, Lone Star
is one of my favorites. Okay, I know Lone Star. Yeah.
Brother from Another Planet, Passion Fish, there's a ton.
The Secret of Ronin-ish is one of my favorites.
Passion Fish, I think it's Passion Fish, is the one where like it just blew my mind. It starts off as like a rom-com, and then halfway through it turns into a thriller. Like the genre just changes. It's not jarring, though. I think it's Passion Fish.
Mm.
It's one of his. And I think that's the one with like Mary McDonnell and David Strathairn. But he makes films that are social films, but they're not like issue films, if that makes any sense. Like Crash is a issue film.
Right.
Not the J.G. Ballard Crash. The one that's about racism.
The Paul
it's
Harris
an important
one.
Film about
one
racism.
One that solved racism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the characters live in a social reality, and they are like, do you guys watch The Expanse or read The Expanse books?
No, I know a lot of people are loving it, though.
They're pretty good. They're not great, but they're pretty good. And they have the characters living in a political reality, and they're affected by politics without there being like, this book is going to deal with terrorism. And having like a capital letter issue that they're going to deal with. Right, they're just like, they live in a social reality, and that affects who they are and what they do. Same thing with John Sayles, except down to earth and more believable characters. And, you know, it's about the world we live in.
He's been making movies. Or he hasn't made a movie since 2013.
Yes, it's tough for him to get financing.
Yeah.
But he makes a living as a screenwriter. He's been making films. I was reminded of John Sayles because he was on Michael Moore's podcast last week.
Interesting.
And I was just like, oh, God, I love John Sayles films.
Yeah.
I just haven't watched one in a while, I guess because he hasn't made one in a while.
Yeah. I like the two that I've seen quite a bit, like really, like a lot, Lone Star and The Secret of Ronin-ish, and never bothered to like go out and see the other one. So I got to do that.
They're all great. Yeah. I haven't seen a bad one.
Okay.
Yeah. John Sayles.
Shout out to John Sayles.
I think he's made 18 films.
Yeah. He's made quite a few. Finally, what is a myth, Andy? What is something people think is true that you know to be false, or is something false that you know to be true?
Right.
Or
so,
something people think is false you know to be true.
I was arguing with a friend on Facebook, which was already...
Every story that begins with this one.
All right. Look, I get it.
A friend or some random asshole you used to work with at a t-shirt store like years ago?
No, a friend from UCB.
Okay.
But look, I was on Facebook to procrastinate from a writing project I should have been working on. Okay.
Yeah,
just so everyone's clear, I'm not 70 years old. I don't regularly go on Facebook. I was just like...
Do about 8 push-ups and then you're like, I'm ready.
I was so tired of Twitter. Twitter was like fecal-fying my brain. It was just like unrelenting with political stuff. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go to Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah, much better.
It'll be better. It wasn't. But he was saying that like he was angry. He's like that people were saying, rightly so, that Bernie was the most feminist candidate running. And he was like, there are two women running. I'm sorry. And I'm just like, I thought if I engaged with him without being like an asshole, with just being like, hey, when I was a philosophy professor, I taught a class on philosophy of feminism. And I was just like, without saying that, without like throwing my credentials in his face, I was like, hey, that's not what feminism is. It doesn't just mean that whatever your genitalia are, you know, if you happen to have female genitalia, you're a feminist.
Right.
It doesn't mean that like... it means that you are fighting whatever your policies are or whatever you're saying is fighting for equality. Mm-hmm. It is fighting for, you know, fair wages for everyone. It is bringing men, women, and all non-binary people all onto the same level.
Right.
That's what true feminism is.
I don't know. And my favorite feminist is Barbara Bush.
So, like, feminism has nothing to do. It has to do with, like, the policies.
Mm. What was this person saying exactly when you were bringing up your point about feminism exactly. This person was purely narrowly just saying because there are two women in it.
Yes. That therefore they are more feminist, that Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren are more feminist. Elizabeth Warren, I don't have much of a problem with, besides I don't think that her policies are as radical as mm-hmm. Bernie's, or she, and I don't think she has an actual movement behind her.
By like radical, you mean the 90s skateboarder sense, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's never ollied.
Right.
I have never seen her once do the thing where her skateboard is sliding. The middle of it is sliding.
A board slide?
Yeah. I've never seen her do a board slide.
Right.
Hold on, bro. You're not equipped to talk about what's radical. You didn't even know what a board slide was. This dude's a toy.
I go to the skate park every day. I have not seen Warren there once.
Right.
How many times have I seen Bernie? At the skate park?
She says she's in favor of half pipes, but her policies don't support it.
Yeah. How many times have I seen Bernie at the abandoned pool where we all skate?
Right.
Once a week.
Yeah,
but Beto's there every day.
Right. Well,
but he's not in it anymore.
He's too focused on the boarding, dude.
Man, I was just born to be in it. That was one of his quotes. I think that was the quote on the cover of Vanity Fair. It was just like, what?
I did see Beto there listening to classic Black Flag, Rollins Black Flag.
Look at him.
Yeah. So, you know what?
Skateboarding barefoot.
Credit where credit's due.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zyte gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
And we're back. And real quick, let's talk about the NBA All-Star Game. Shaka Khan had a weird national anthem, but it wasn't the weirdest national anthem.
It wasn't Fergie.
Right, it wasn't Fergie weird.
Whoa, what was Fergie's?
It was just...
Dude, it was like scat jazz from hell. It was like she really took creative license.
Humpity hump, humps, 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 humps.
Nearly. What was it? She just was
Shaka Khan went just more like she just had a different melody. It was a different, it just sounded different enough that I had to check the lyrics to make sure she was singing the same lyrics.
Yeah, I'm not going to come for Shaka Khan.
No, but exactly. It's like, what did you think she was just going to do a straightforward rendition? No.
Hell no.
Was Fergie also the NBA All-Star game?
Yes, it was.
I feel like the 2018. NBA, I feel like the NBA is like, and also, have fun with
Remember
this
she
one.
Was all breathy.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, are you fucking the national anthem?
Yeah. Hey, man.
The only people that do straightforward renditions? The CIA. Thank you, folks.
Oh, boy. straightforward renditions. Here we go.
The dunk contest was... I mean, some people are mad about the outcome. It was still... Like, I don't remember dunk contests by who wins. I remember them by, like, the dunks that were done. And there were some pretty incredible dunks. The scoring system is obviously fucked. But
terrible.
Always has been.
The dunk contest, I was watching it, and I could not stand how many perfect 10s they were giving out.
Yeah.
Which sort of makes, there's no way to actually discern or differentiate between these dunks if everyone's getting perfect 10s just because they executed.
It sounds like the MTV basketball game.
Rock and Jock?
Yeah.
Which needs to come back.
It's similar.
Rock and Jock must come back. Viacom, if you're listening, I know you are because I owe you money. But please bring Rock and Jock back. That's a game we deserve.
Overall, it was one of the best dunk contests.
Wait,
I've
you
ever
owe
seen.
Viacom money?
Yeah, yeah. It's a look. It's
they owe me money. So do you want to just pay me straight?
Yeah, let's
we can work that out. I'll be like, yeah, I give to Andy. So, but yeah, look, Derrick Jones Jr. People debate whether he should have won or not. I think he did fantastic. I really think the people Aaron Gordon can be upset because of the scoring system. Ultimately, I think things come down to dunks that need to be scored a certain way, and if everyone's really tight going into the last round, then just any deviation ends up meaning like throwing the entire thing. When
he
kept escalating, he was yes anding on every dunk that he did.
I think he had the best dunk of the contest with the off the side of the backboard thrown by Markelle Fultz, by the way, shout out 76ers, who also missed the backboard with his first toss. I was like, of
Love
all
that
the
accuracy.
People. Of all the people to put in a high-pressure situation, you're putting Markelle Fultz, the dude who, like, just forgot how to shoot after being the number one pick. Anyways,
he's doing better now.
Yeah, he's doing much better. That dunk where he threw it off the backboard, caught it with one hand, and did a 360 was one of the craziest dunks. And then the All-Star game was also dope. The fourth quarter where it was, like, first to, I think it was like 157 or something, and like they started playing defense and getting real competitive. It was really fun. It was definitely the most fun stretch of All-Star game I've ever seen.
Yes.
So
also get better judges for the dunk contest. You know, like shout out to Common and Chadwick Boseman, but like put people in who like can dunk.
Yeah.
Or have like a great idea of like body mechanics. Like get Misty Copeland in there.
Yeah.
Who's your dream judges for the dunk contest?
Vince Carter.
Okay.
Misty Copeland.
Mm.
Simone Biles. Dominique Wilkins.
Who?
And Michael Irving.
Yeah. What? Wait, what?
Hey, he was dope in the celebrity dunk contest like in the 80s. But I just think I would love to see people who understand movement too.
Right,
like Simone Biles or Misty Copeland might look at a dunk very differently.
I do
like,
think Simone
Alvin
Biles.
Ailey.
Yeah, right. Somebody. I just like, you know, and I get it. You want to have like Chicago people in there too thematically, and I get that it makes sense to get people in it. But I also would love to just see like get people you can also see having a bit of expertise in there.
I feel like the more scientific you make a judging thing like that, the worse it becomes because it'll then become like the Olympic like. Olympic gymnastics or Olympic diving where it's like you have to like hit these three points and then you Like, so people like start gamifying it, where this is more all around phenomenological. Like,
So then I agree with you.
Are you technocratic solutions?
Yes.
Are not the way to go.
Always the way to go.
So I guess
no,
you do
not this. We're opposite. We're saying that they're not the way to go. You have to understand it as totality.
Right.
It's so a Hegelian understanding of the dunk contest.
So then what would we do? A 60-40 split? How many? I think, look, you get, if you're doing five judges, three are people who like know the dunk, and then two are just people who are going to give you like the oh shit score.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I would go 3-2 the other way, so you couldn't game fight, because if you still are winning on three judge cards. Then,
okay.
Yeah.
Democratize it a little bit.
Yeah, democratize
it. And then whoever has a movie coming out. Like Queen and Slim.
Yeah.
If Queen and Slim's coming out, you have them as the.
Or you have, yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right. You have Ben Schwartz and Jim Cyclops. Carey. What's his name? James Morrison.
Anyways, that was All-Star Weekend. It was a rousing success. Miles, you were there. Are we talking about that?
Yeah, I was there.
You were there.
That's all we got to say.
Yeah.
I was there. Look, I love Chicago.
You were voted to the Western All-Stars, but you were injured, so you had
to. I was injured, so I let LeBron hop in. but, you know, we're classmates. We're both, shout-out class of 03, so out of solidarity, I was like, you know what, maybe you should do this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's check in with the polls, where the Democratic primary is polling at the moment. NPR PBS released a poll that has Bloomberg surging and Biden slipping, and that's all the mainstream media seems to be.
Yeah, or you look. Yeah, there's
I wonder who's at first. What's the number one?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Some guy named Bernard Sindars.
Right.
That sounds like a Klingon name.
Bernard Sindars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuk Sandars.
He's at 31% and up 9 points since the last poll from last month. Biden has gone down 9 points to 15%. Bloomberg, second place with 19%. That's 15 percentage points that he's shot up since the last poll. And then with that means Elizabeth Warren, she had a 5-point slide. Amy Klobuchar had a 5-point increase.
Mm.
And Mayor Pete also had a bit of a decrease as well. He went down 5 points.
To be fair, though, Amy Klobuchar has that increase because she was throwing things at the people that were taking the poll at the time, and she was screaming at them to vote for her.
She's got a lot of, you know, there's a lot of interesting momentum around her.
Clubmentum. Sorry, mispronounced that.
The Clubmentum. And, like, but it's funny to see after Iowa, like, the media try and figure out, do they want to lean more into Mike Bloomberg or sort of treat Amy Klobuchar sort of like a outsider Cinderella picks, quite possibly.
Well, right. The New York Times has been constantly pushing for Klobuchar.
Yeah. Right.
Like, when she had absolutely no Klobmentum at all, they were like, she's going to be great. And so it's now that pushed her a little bit above, it's interesting to see. It's interesting to see propaganda play out in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right. Like Bloomberg using his vast wealth to push propaganda. It's like, oh, wow, it's working with, because most people, their brains have not been fecalified by online politics.
Right.
And they just kind of like, if they hear an ad, like Naomi and I were, when we were at Sketchfest. We were in a lift and they had the radio on. We heard it was just like one ad for Bloomberg, one ad for Buttigieg, one ad for Bloomberg, like over and over
again. One for me and one for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point, right? Like, you in these campaigns, targeted ads are meant to get your numbers up. And I guess when you saturate, that's what you're seeing. Like, just, and if you went off the ads, you would think Obama himself was like, this is the guy.
Right.
This is the guy. And the ads are very slick. So, when you look, somebody who is not really keeping up with what the stakes are in this election or what the backgrounds are of some of these candidates, you'd look at a Bloomberg ad and be like, damn, this guy sounds pretty good. He put on like this black architecture firm, has been trying to.
And then put them in jail.
Yeah. No mention of that. Right. Although, gosh, some of the rallies were very interesting when like a protester put up a sign that says he protects racist systems on the podium. And then like, they're like, hey, get that off.
Right.
I would totally vote for this cruel, bloodless vampire over the vulgar, screaming white supremacist. Mm. If it becomes Bloomberg versus Trump. Right. It's officially
the darkest day.
Yeah, it's like that's funeral, like November whatever 3rd. what is it going to be this year? Is officially as the bedtime for democracy, right? The dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
As Beto O'Rourke was telling me when we were skating together.
So 538, which has a blended average, has a lot of very bad news for the DNC in their projection, because they have Bernie up by a lot on any yes! other candidate, but he's tied with nobody getting the majority, which ends in a brokered convention, essentially, which both seem like apocalyptic scenarios for them, because... like, I don't know which one they want less, I guess, is my question.
They probably want, they would probably prefer a brokered convention.
Right.
They're willing to destroy the party. We, you saw it in Iowa. They were willing to destroy the Iowa caucuses.
That's one thing.
In order to prevent Bernie. They are willing to destroy the party because they are, it doesn't, for the top people in the DNC and in the Democratic Party, their lives don't change if they destroy the party. They are still very wealthy. They still have a lot of power.
Well, we were talking about how, like, Tom Perez had, like, this golden parachute built into his DNC contract, whereas, like, if shit went south, like, he was still getting a payout. So even if the worst-case scenario to the establishment happened and Bernie were to get the nomination, he could, like, jettison and get a check. But then people were like, there was so much scrutiny on it, they'd be like, oh, I was just joking about that. I'm not actually going to take a check if I leave.
I will say, I don't...
will in a second.
I don't know. I haven't made my decision fully whether Iowa was, like, specifically engineered incompetence or actual just, like, dumb incompetence, personally. That's, I don't know. But
even in the wake of it, I agree. I don't think there's enough information to know. Right. But even in the wake of it, where they did everything they could to not come to a decision quickly or leak out information when it helped Buttigieg.
Right.
When they're like, why 62%? That's the questions I have, where it's just like, oh, well, because, or like the SDEs.
Right.
A metric we've never used in the fucking entire existence of the Iowa caucuses.
I thought that's what it usually was.
You've never decided, when have you ever seen someone be like, oh, I won because I have more SDEs?
Right. Well, I think...
equivalence? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. But you, I think the said, reason... I think the popular vote was the thing that wasn't typically reported.
Well, because it's Sanders about the delegates. Said,
right. It's usually about the delegates, I think.
Do you think it breaks the party?
I don't know. It's tough to know. I mean, like, because it's a really dark situation to be with. You go to a brokered primary or a brokered convention
where they will steal it from
you.
Bernie.
Use the super delegates to, like, rat fuck in whatever way you want to, and then people are going to be like, "What is this?" Because the will of the voters is one way, but now you're because I think the super delegates control about 16% of the delegates there. So if, like, it's split with, like, Bernie has a third and the other two thirds are spread around four or five candidates, that's 16%. If it goes all into one person, that can do a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it gets interesting. And you would, I just think it would be a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to have a brokered convention, because I could just see how much momentum, excitement, enthusiasm is just taken out at that point. But again, that's the kind of chaos that the right would love to see, because that's sort of what they're used to seeing the Democrats sort of do. It's like somehow they've created their own problem and weakened themselves.
Yes. But because they really do want what the right wants. I really do count centrists on the right. I don't think there really is an actual center. They actually do want fascism. They just want people to be nicer to brown and gay people.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. That's really all they want, but they still want basically fascism.
I think that... yeah, I think whether that's through, like, oppressive systems of, like, you know, how our financial systems work, I think that's really, like, the overlap there, because they're both like, look, we're both not going to, like, make it hot for the rich. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
We'll differ on those other things, but we will hold the line for, like, the billionaire class.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where their similarities are, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I don't mean Trump himself ripped the mask off. I mean his election. That was the end of us being able to pretend that there is a rational discourse that can be had.
Yeah. No, I don't think he... yeah, I didn't think you were conscious saying he, like, consciously...
no,
did
he's
it.
A...
yeah, yeah.
He's a turd.
Yeah.
He's a genuinely mush-brained turd.
I do think
turd.
He's a symptom of, you know, a lot of problems we're seeing going on, which is, I think people are generally becoming more aware of, you know, the how the system works and like some myths that we were all buying into as a culture and as a zeitgeist are kind of going away because people are getting, I don't know. One thing that I do think, just in talking about 538's analysis, which has Sanders and brokered convention tied, is in kind of explaining how they came up with these numbers and like what the model is predicting. Nate Silver was saying that the model was surprised that Bernie didn't get more of a bump after Iowa and New Hampshire, and they were saying that could be because he has a ceiling in terms of his support. But I think it has more to do with the fact that the mainstream media just didn't cover him as a winner.
Did you see when de Blasio endorsed him? It was either CNN or MSNBC says the headline was de Blasio endorses Democrat. It wouldn't even.
Oh, yeah. When they didn't see, yeah, they wouldn't say Bernie Sanders.
It wouldn't even name him. And yeah. It is. It would be funny if there weren't real repercussions.
Yeah.
And if people's lives weren't on the line and like a better society wasn't on the line.
Yeah.
It would be genuinely hilarious.
Yeah. So I just want to say that, like, I think 538 does a pretty good job of like bringing all the available statistics together. I think one huge blind spot they have is that they are owned by a major media, mainstream media corporation. And so they don't take the mainstream media bias into account. And I think that really the rest of the primary is going to be a story of whether Bernie and his supporters can overcome that sort of blind spot and that bias, because it seems like the mainstream media is going to try and focus on whoever.
I mean, just look, again, despite the bizarro coverage, the numbers still increase.
Yeah. Yeah. And just not as much as they were expecting.
Yeah. And I think that's where you see, again, the blind spot. Then we've talked about this. Like, they don't, there's no element of class consciousness in the discourse in the media.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a few candidates who have made that, and they're not being talked about because that's really the most disruptive thing
that could
happen in this election, are people really understanding what the stakes are and then deciding from there what the solution should be. Because I think we're past the days of like, it's the people on the right are screwing this up, or it's immigrant, whatever it is, more to like, no, we are in a system that is completely fucked.
Yeah.
It is completely rigged.
Yeah.
And that's what that's the first step to changing things.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked before about how that's not just the mainstream news. That's everything about our zeitgeist and our founding identity myth that America is a place where you pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And it almost seems profound when like a movie talks about class, because that's like,
you mean John Sayles?
Yeah, John Sayles or Joker or Parasite. People were like, whoa, wait a second. What the fuck?
It is so funny to watch like Neil Brennan or anyone who's like wealthy and has been wealthy for a long time, or I don't know his class background, but like
he used to caddy was something he said in that thread.
Oh.
Of like something about like struggle. He's like, I grew up caddying. And I'm like, what? Maybe that was a joke. I don't know. I just remember seeing that and I was like, this has to be a joke.
It's so funny to watch people who have never had to think about class before suddenly have to grapple with it. And especially wealthy people, it just blows their mind that anyone could be against. Like, I don't personally hold wealthy people. If I was wealthy or I came from a wealthy background, I wouldn't want to give up my money either, which is why you have to create a system that.
Well, right. And I think that's when those arguments start to go out the window. And when you see people start like having solidarity with billionaires, because they're used to this argument is like, well, if they get a hit, that means the people that work for them also take a hit, rather than being like, hold on. The inconvenience actually trickles down to the person at the lowest rung, not the highest. They're not saying, none of these people in these boardrooms are like, all right, man, we took a hit. We're going to have to take smaller salaries next year. They're like, no, fuck that. Just fucking cut off one of these offices. And then we've saved ourselves a couple hundred million.
How many fucking viable businesses have we seen in the last year or two? Either online. Look, Meltdown here in Los Angeles.
Right.
They raised the rent it was a viable business. It was one of the linchpins of the comedy community here. Mm-hmm. A wonderful comic book store. They raised the rent so that they couldn't exist there anymore.
Right.
Yeah. All right. What just closed down? HQ.
Yeah.
Right. The trivia game closed down, not because it wasn't profitable, because they wanted to be extremely profitable and they wanted to.
Right.
Same thing with what was the comedy thing that just shut down like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
I'm not sure.
Not Funny or Die. College Humor.
College Humor, yeah.
College Humor just shut down, not because it wasn't profitable, but because they wanted to be extremely profitable.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All these things where people just want to, they're just extracting without having any kind of social consciousness or care for making a better or more interesting society. They just want to suck out as much value as possible so they can buy, like, what, a 20th boat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, and that's what you see. Like, who benefits and who bears the burden of it?
Right.
And it's constantly people on the lower end of the financial spectrum are the ones who bear the burden while other people just laugh their ass off on their boats. And then, like, Betsy DeVos has, like, you know, when her $40 million yacht catches fire, people are like, hell yeah.
Right.
Because what the fuck are any of us going to know about owning a $40 million yacht? None. Most of us just want the... Yeah, caught, like, some shit happened to her yacht.
There was, like, a kitchen fire.
Or something, or it fucking was... It she got was like, loose off the dock.
See, I face adversity.
Yeah, in a way. But, like, what you're saying, I don't know. There is this... I think people are now hopefully, and I think they are slowly starting to see who the people are that are actually standing in the way of them being able to flourish or to be able to live in a way that feels like you have dignity and respect.
Right.
Which we just don't. You have to afford to be able to live with dignity and respect. And that's the bottom line is, like, we're just saying there should be no price tag on that.
Right. Rich people eat so well. The handful of times I've gotten to have a fancy meal. Oh my God, it's so delicious. It's so good. Or, like, this is the thing that drives me nuts. Like, the example I always use is, like, air travel,
mm-hmm. right.
which is, like, in your face, first class. I mean, right. it doesn't, like...
It's snowpiercing.
There's no class system.
Yeah.
But, first class.
First class and broke-ass class. Right.
Everything is commodified right. in air travel, and it is the worst fucking experience unless you are wealthy.
Yeah. And they make it that way, too, so, like... In a way, it's like watching Cribs, where you see how they do it, and you're like, oh, I would love that, because where how I live is not like this. And then when you're on a plane, you're like, these seats are so fucking small. Like, over there, the fucking shit's wider. It goes back more.
It gets you sick because they don't clean it. Like, yeah. the whole fucking yeah. thing is really bad for you.
Could you imagine if, sort of what we were talking about, one of the last episodes, is, like, the cleaning is even different on the plane. Like, first class, like, Ecolab comes through and, like, right. makes sure it's, like, surgically sanitized. Meanwhile, like, in the back, they're like, I don't know, Febreze the shit.
Yeah. No, but you can pay $10 extra if you want yours cleaned well. If right. you want your seat cleaned well. If you don't pay that $10 extra, you're gambling with your health.
I would fucking pay that because it's really bad.
You don't want to get COVID-19?
I always forget to bring those wipes that, like, you can just wipe down your whole seat with.
Always, like, find a parent on the plane.
Exactly. Because
they're always, you're like, hey, let me get one of them. Let me score one real quick.
Yeah. All right.
Or a
guys.
Dog owner.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets.
if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and Subway is back with a new deal.
Yeah.
I did not know that $5 foot long went away.
They killed it 2 years ago.
Yeah, but that song is so catchy that it's still in my head to this day.
Oh, yeah,
it was so catchy. Is it because Jared was so associated with the $5 foot long?
It's because it was doing in the franchise owners. So the deal is great for the customer. Right. But for the restaurant owner, terrible. The margins are absolute dog shit, and you can't make. You're giving money away when you give away when you sell $5 footlongs. So they look. I love Subway. Okay,
yeah.
I love the tuna sandwich. People know I'm verifiably maybe disturbed when it comes to my sandwich.
No, there's something wrong with you for sure.
You're twisted.
But I love the franchise owner.
Twisted, man. I'm twisted. I fuck with Subway tuna, bruh.
So the $5, they did away with it 2 years ago. And in the 2 years since, around 1,100 stores went out of business. A lot of them were saying because of this deal. Like, it's absolutely terrible for us to sell these sandwiches at that point. So they have a new promotion, which I'm sure franchise owners are livid about. This time, starting March 5th, Subway will offer people buy one, get one free on all footlong sandwiches as long as you order online or use the app.
Right.
That's going to be terrible for the restaurant owners.
What is what is the benefit of that? Like,
okay, so right
why
now,
get people to use the app?
So this is where it goes back to what's happening in the C-suite, right?
Yeah.
So at the very top, they're trying to say, look, we really need to make up more mobile and online business because it only makes up for this is boardroom talk, only 1.4% of our business. How can we grow that? Okay, so that if they do this, hopefully this promotion can get a jump to at least 5% of their sales coming from mobile or
online.
What
does that do? If it's that low, why increase?
Because those are numbers that matter to Wall Street now because they've seen and so it's just you have every quarter you have an earnings call where you get your CEO gets on the phone and talks about the quarter you just had based on the numbers that you have in front of the people who invest. And then analysts ask you questions. And so basically all of a company's strategy is driven by that hour and a half long call. And people, you feel the ramifications of that all the way down the corporate ladder.
And you'd be able to say hey, we increased online sales. But here's the thing. The franchisees are all asking, is there going to be compensation from corporate when I'm giving away a fucking sandwich every time they buy it through the app? Their answer is, similar to other offers, there is no additional compensation.
Right.
Of course. So the Mark Zuckerberg of Subway, that's the best we're gonna do. Sorry,
supper.
Folks.
Yeah.
So his pocketbook gets bigger.
Yeah.
Or it's just a weird way to show weird growth that actually is negatively affecting your franchisees. the guy who they have running it is like the former CEO of Burger King. And one of his last things he was doing at Burger King was he was like wanted a $1 double cheeseburger like promo. And that was going to be sold at a loss to the franchisees. They voted to reject this promotion twice. And then he overruled them and was like, no, you're going to sell
the franchisees.
Franchisees voted to not to reject it, but the CEO overruled them and they had to do it.
Wait, the CEO is not held accountable to the voters?
This is what's weird.
This is a thing that you see. Like, this reminds me of the overall Walmart model where, like, Walmart is going to all these communities and putting mom and pop shops out of business. So, you know, that money doesn't stay in the community. And it's almost like there are these vacuums that are just like sucking up all the money and like taking it to some centrally located place. And it's like if when it comes to like whether they're driving value for the centrally located corporation or like that local business, it's always going to be like moving value to the central headquarters, and that's why you see a lot of suffering like all over the world where there's not these giant mega corporations located. And with this, it's just another version of the same thing where it's, you know, the thing that drives value for the central group is what's being valued as opposed to, you know, what drives value.
Damn,
for
all right, Marx.
What was, no, it's true.
It's true though. I mean, like,
what was Mitt Romney's company?
Bain. Now there's a group that does it right.
It's like we live in a comic book now.
We do.
It really does feel like that. Because they're just like, yeah, we're going to be outright villains and you can't do anything about it. Right. That's basically it.
Right.
But like they did that with like, it was a Toys R Us or was it KB? They did it with one of the toy franchises. Again,
a
company that made money.
Mm-hmm.
They went in, they leveraged debt on it and then sucked out what they could. And then let it fall apart.
Raiden, baby.
Right.
Raiden it.
Yes, Raiden from Mortal
Raiden
Kombat.
From Mortal Kombat, yep.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, I just wish, look, I want some franchisees to do a Rogue. You know what I mean? I'll support a Rogue Subway.
Yeah, what stops them? I would actually, that would be a great thing. If we said right now, if there is a Subway franchise that says, fuck you to the corporate whatever, corporate center, we will rally around you.
Because I'm like, just give me that same, well, I guess it'll be slightly different. But at the same time, I want them to bring the U-Gouch back.
Right.
You know? A lot of the sandwich artists don't know the U-Gouch they used to.
Yeah, the U-Gouch is the...
It's when they used to take the top part off, like it was gouged, like a U-shaped piece was taken off the top.
Turned it into a little bread canoe.
Yeah.
It was almost like a bread bowl sandwich.
DSA, you need to start a Subway Justice Committee.
Right. Let's talk about two related stories, Boy Scouts going bust and the fact that it's National Chocolate Mint Day. They're not related to each other causally at all, but my explanation for why the Boy Scouts went bust is they should have created Boy Scouts.
That's really dark considering the reason why they're filing for bankruptcy. Right. It's because of all of the sexual abuse claims against them.
So it's not cool for me to be like, they should have done this smarter.
Check your mentions. Let me know how cool that was.
What did the Boy Scout Pope have to say?
Well, this is funny because it's very similar to what the archdiocese, like certain archdioceses in the Catholic Church have done, and also USA Gymnastics. So with the Boy Scouts, they're looking at hundreds of sexual abuse lawsuits at the moment. And they're filing right now. They said their liabilities range from $100 million to $500 million and assets of less than $50,000. But the whole reason is like they do this because it puts a halt to like any kind of existing litigation. And then they have like an opportunity to like have like a larger settlement for all the people that have sued in like one final resolution. But again, this is very similar to the same thing that USA Gymnastics and certain dioceses have done. But yeah, it's wild to think that this thing has been around for 100 years, basically.
Is it because the weights on your derby cars kind of looked like testicles?
I don't remember
were
that.
You guys never made a
Pinewood Derby car?
No,
I don't remember
the
weights.
Little counterweights you would have to put in them looked like testicles.
Oh, really?
Weren't they washers?
Like the original truck nuts?
They were, yes.
The original truck nuts.
Pine nuts.
And then I just remember, like, kids in my class were doing it. Like, they always had graphite dust or some shit they were using. I'm like, what the fuck are you making?
On the,
they were dusting for fingerprints.
Oh, no.
They were getting their crime. They were getting their cold case badge.
Was that one of the merit badges you could get?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, shout out to the Eagle Scouts. I have a few friends who did that. I'm not sure what you do with that now.
Oh man. They
it's retroactively taken from them.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Andy, it has been a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you?
At Andy Beckerman on all your social media platforms. I have two podcasts. One I just had the 10th anniversary of.
Wow.
It's called Beginnings. And I have fairly serious, almost Freudian talks with artists I like about their childhoods. And on the 10th anniversary was Stephen Merritt from The Magnetic Fields.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
I've talked a lot. I mean, Damon Lindelof, Abby and Alana have been on the show before a couple times.
Great folk duo.
Abby and Alana. That's Broad City, Abby and Alana.
Yeah. Also, they were a Simon and Garfunkel duo? Cover band.
Right.
Yeah. Talib Kweli. In the 10-year history of the show, and also on this very network, Couples Therapy.
This very network. The very network you're listening to.
With my dear wife, Naomi, wonderful stand-up who you have seen, listener. Dear listener, you have seen everywhere from Comedy Central to Apple TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have, we do a live show. And we cut it up and put it where we have comics who are close do sets together about their relationship. Mm. And we bring it to you. Sometimes we have people in studio. This week it's Wendy McClendon Covey from the Goldbergs.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
And we answer your advice questions. It's great.
Awesome. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes. This is, I hope this doesn't disqualify her because she is my friend. But at Hallie Kiefer, she's wonderful. She is a great stand-up. She writes for Vulture.
Not disqualifying at all.
Okay, great. Well-dressed, great skin, seems rich, strong, silent type. I'll say it. Who wouldn't fuck Brahms?
The composer?
The doll from the horror movie. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. Brahms? It's the doll.
That's great.
Yes.
Wait, which movie?
There. What is it called? I really don't know the answer to that. I just know that it's, I knew enough of the reference to laugh out loud at that. And I picked a tweet, whatever tweet made me laugh out loud.
Boom. The Boy.
The Boy.
The Boy. Thank you. Yes.
From The Boy and The Boy 2.
Oh, it kind of looks like Jared Kushner.
Yeah, it does look like Jared Kushner. Holy shit.
Hey, ow.
Ow.
Okay, The Boy.
And that is what Trump calls him. I couldn't think of what's his wife's name. Ivana? Ivanka.
Ivanka. Yeah. That's silly. That shouldn't be her name. Miles, where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, talking about 90 Day Fiancé, the wonderful garbage fire of a show that will help you feel good about your relationship comparatively, because that is always healthy. Some tweets I like from Reductress. Wow. This woman cut out the toxic people in her life, but still follows them on Instagram. And also, this one, just as a child of the 90s, coming of age then, also from Reductress, Whiteout celebrates 60 years of being nail polish of choice for girls in study hall. And also for anyone trying to customize their JanSport.
Yeah. Tweet I've been enjoying, Rob Delaney tweeted, my first job in Hollywood was doing the big poop that Laura Dern reaches into in Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah.
And then I'm just gonna play this part out loud. Your favorite Zoe tweeted, shout out to the black queen that told Jennifer Hudson to sing bitch during the Kobe tribute.
Sing it, bitch.
It's like dead silence.
Let him know.
Jennifer Hudson backed by a huge like portrait of Kobe, just like very poignant. So it's just like overcome with the moment. It was amazing. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what is that going to be today?
This is from the group Drug Dealer.
They're great. Also, former guest on Beginnings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Michael Collins?
Yes.
Oh, dope. He's a LA guy, isn't he?
Not originally.
He's from the East Coast, but I think he made his name out here mostly.
He rode the rails. We talk about that on the show. He spent a lot of time like a hobo riding the rails.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
I remember.
That's where he's from? The rails?
Yeah.
Used to be Run DMT, from, if you remember that group.
Yeah.
But yeah, this track's called Suddenly, and it's just got, how would you describe it? It's like very, I feel like I'm in a fever dream where like maybe like a like some session tapes from Elton John got a bunch of acid poured on them or something.
Is it a cover of that Suddenly? Finally.
Finally.
Wow. It's happened to me. Sorry, I got that song on the brain.
Yeah, so this one's Suddenly. Yeah, so check that one out.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We will be back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. We will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.